And welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Radio RMN, and my guests today are Brian and Stellar. And you can just put in Brian and Stellar, STELLAR.com, and you can go to their page, brianandstellar.com. And Brian, you, I had just mentioned that the Cherokees had a legend that, a certain group of beings sang the universes into being. And you were just going to comment on a number of different indigenous people that believe similarly.
It's amazing because when we collate the stories and folklore and legends of indigenous people from all over the world, we find an actual similar set of circumstances. And from the Hopi to the indigenous peoples of Australia, who based their entire whole existence on dream time and being able to actually take the spiritual essence from the other realms to the density of Earth, we find that in these dreamtime legends of spirits singing the universe into existence gives us great knowledge and insight into not only true sciences of ancient art, but also ancient origins. And what's very interesting is a lot of people think that until quite recently, most of the countries of the earth were completely isolated. And this just is not true compared to, we keep finding the same scientific prime number mathematics in ancient sites and indigenous cultures all over the world. And what's amazing is, for an example, in North America, with the Hopi, the medicine wheels, we find that from the Maya, the Hopi, Cherokee, right across the board, all the people who were spiritually connected to nature and the resonance frequency of existence have an interconnected deep relationship with true science, mathematics, and sacred geometry. And we find in, for example, astrological calendars of the Hopi medicine wheel identical to the measurements of Stonehenge from the ancient Celtic Druids over in England. And we keep finding a lot of these numbers that have to do with 216, which also 2160, which just happens to be the diameter of the moon, built into the circular medicine wheels, the same as in Stonehenge, also the same as in Adam's Peak out in Africa. Adam's calendar. And
Michael Kellinger discovered
correlations. There is no coincidence that there is an interconnectedness to spirit and these numbers.
And so all around the world.
All around the world.
How do you explain that? Were they in contact with each other? Did they come from the same race of people? Were they telepathic? How do you explain it?
Well, I'll give you an example. A lot of people try to think that there is a history of music, like a history of, say, for an example, building the wheel. But you can't exactly tell the difference between where the history of music starts. Just like there would be no exact history of science of people who would draw water up a well. But yet people have an innate ability, a natural ability to be able to connect due to the fact that the skeleton is resonating at a certain frequency and that bone, for an example, just happens to resonate at C256, which is a C note in the 432 scale. So there is basically a set of origin ratios that's all built into everybody across the world in terms of a divine blueprint. It's when mankind and civilization turned its back on nature away from natural timekeeping into the false timekeeping of, say, like the Gregorian calendar, which doesn't fit with the Earth, that we've essentially pulled a false cube over the consciousness of everybody, you know, globally. And as a result of that, we now we're in the right into the fall of the civilization of what's going on, and we see that in terms of you know, legal systems breaking down, banking systems, greed, all the conditions of emotion in the emotion body that's not connected with nature is serving all the greed and lust base. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, all of these things are frequency. They're all frequencies of yourself. So, going back to the ancients, those who were spiritually connected with the land, and also using, for an example, stone monuments in accurate timekeeping of the orbits of the planets, were far more advanced than us, because the way of being able to use healing arts by understanding resonance, you can use a crystal, for an example, to as a remedy to heal, as opposed to using something that's a device or a pill or a placebo effect, that kind of thing. So,
yes.
Those who were indigenous, it's not so much that they were all in contact, but you mentioned telepathy. Now, telepathy, there is a science of it, and it is based on frequency and ratio, and I'd love if Stella could talk about that.
Well, yes, because the indigenous peoples, unlike our modern-day society, were absolute self-responsible creators. They absolutely knew that they created their own reality. And talking about the Hopis, there's a wonderful Hopi creation story, which I'd just like to share if I can actually remember the whole story. But the creator said, you know, we need to hide for a certain period of time to man, that he creates his own reality until he's ready to be responsible with it. And so the eagle said, well, I will fly this part of him to the moon and he'll never find it there. And the creator said, no, one day he will go to the moon and he will find it. So then Bear said, I will go and I will hide it in the crust of the earth. And the creator said, no, one day he will dig down deep enough into the earth and he will find it there. And then the salmon said, well, I will take it to the bottom of the ocean and I will hide it there. And the creator said, no, because one day he will find a way, man will find a way to get to the bottom of the sea and find it. And the creator scratched his head and looked and he went, I know, let's hide it inside man. He'll never find it there.
Now, oh, my God.
To me, when I feel into that story, It really is, that's where this lies. We all have a note and a tone inside us that is so unique and so individual. And when we tune into that tone, and that's what this 432 frequency has allowed me to do, it's allowed me to find a very authentic voice, which is actually uniquely me, even though it's connected to all things. So I found a clarity through this that I knew that the ancients were tapped into, because they, you know, they knew how to create their reality. They knew how to go forwards and absolutely not be victims. They were absolutely self-responsible creators. And that's why they lived in harmony with the earth, you know, because you can't live in harmony with the earth when you're in that creation mode. So that would be my experience. And also there's many other things like the Vedic traditions and in India and Asia, where you have a thing called the Sri Yantra. And for anybody wanting to do a search on that, it's SRI, separate word, Yantra, which is YANTRA. And when you take a sound photograph, and there are devices out there like the Cymoscope, for instance, and when you take a photograph of the sound Om, it looks like all these triangles and pyramids put together, that looks like a gateway of sound. And what this is effectively the first sound of creation, is what the Vedics and the Hindus and all the Asian traditions believed was the first sound of creation. Om is the sound of the universe. And so it's very interesting when you start to look at all the different Asian and you know, different cultures all over the world. They all have, like, we had John the Baptist saying the word is God. We've got the Om. We've also got the Sri Lankan creation story of a husband and wife team that got together and they created and controlled the weather through sound. So they created the sun and the rainfall together through using music and sound. There is absolutely no doubt that sound creates our reality today. And when we tune into 432, we can expand that, because it would seem that, that the 440 is just not in resonance with who we are as human beings.
Well, that is really extraordinary. Now, let's go back to the skeleton a bit. And the temple of man, wasn't the temple of man created? And each room in the temple, you know, there was the leg and the chest and the shoulders and the head. Is that correct? Am I correct about that?
That is, that's the temple of man in Luxor. I've been there. And the layout of the pillows is exactly the skeleton of man. It's the resonance. And the pillows all represent the different body parts of the Adam, if you like, or the Adamu. And it's very interesting. I've been there several times, and it's a fascinating place with these huge... If you look at the obelisk, for instance, we all know what an obelisk or a needle looks like from the Egyptian you know, pillars that they had. And what they
right.
called this was a thing called the Djed, which represents the spine. And so these obelisks were like huge divining rods, if you like, with all these different types of hieroglyphics written on them. And there's two massive ones in the Temple of Man as you walk through. They're there to greet you. And they're absolutely amazing to touch and to feel them and to see all these different designs and pictures that were representing a bit like what the skeleton would do in our human body. Because the skeleton is very much of the spine, especially in the back, is like a huge column of resonation for all our electrical impulses to run through that controls the body. And I just find it fascinating going to Egypt because there are so many references to the spine.
Now, have you, staying on the Temple of Man for a moment, Julius Caesar's father-in-law, his wife's father, built his villa in Rome patterned after the Temple of Man in Luxor. And then the Getty Museum in Malibu, California, patterned their museum after Julius Caesar's father-in-law's villa. But I wonder if it was actually patterned after the Temple of Man, rather than... Do you know anything about these two structures?
I don't, I'm afraid, Ray, but it's very likely that a lot of people go to Egypt, no matter who you are, you can go to Egypt and you can have a deep remembrance or a deep affiliation with the temples. It's almost like going as a computer and receiving a new download. That's kind of what it feels like, because
a lot of
ancient memory is stirred up from being in these places of power, which they really are. I mean, Egypt's an incredibly powerful place, and these temples were put on specific places within this amazing country to resonate out various frequencies. And, you know, if you go to the more feminine temples like Dendera and Philae, they're all resonating frequencies of abundance and appreciation and gratitude and joy and beauty. And then you go to the more masculine temples and they're, you know, resonating all the masculine qualities. And it's very, very interesting to go there and feel, you know, the different energies that you can actually feel very, you know, palpably in these places.
Well, that's incredible. You know, going back at the time of Egypt, have you found, you know, just recently there's been a new temple or a new pyramids found in Bosnia. And the Bosnian pyramids have tones coming off them. And I've just wondered, have you found similar structures to what we were talking about, the Temple of Man and the pyramids. Have you found them in other cultures? I mean, in Europe, what I'm talking about.
Well, first off, we have to understand that history has not been quite so truthful as we know it, and it's actually been used as a bit of a propaganda tool, and that a lot of history has actually been either covered up or smashed. And we find that pyramids are actually very common on all places of the earth. I mean, even in the steppes coming off of Russia, there was the Kurgans were building, ziggurats. One of the
yes.
famous types of ziggurat that came out of Ugarit was the Ur ziggurat, which was supposed to be the landing pad of the gods Nana. And
that's correct.
And so we find that pyramidal structures are more common than we know, and one of the reasons being is there's types of subtle forces of energy through resonance that collect around pyramids, and pyramids can actually generate resonance like a musical instrument. Now, when you couple that with water, incredible things start to happen, because water is essentially, it's a memory bank. As we know, water can change its structure according to intention, but it's more than that. It's also diamagnetic, which essentially means it's kind of like a magnet. So it's a type of a power source. And there's a famous experiment that was done in the 19th century by Lord Kelvin, where he created a static water generator by essentially running two streams of water through two copper conductors, and they were able to actually build up a static charge of a few hundred thousand volts and then discharge. So water has always been used as a power source. Nikola Tesla understood the principle of the Temple of Man and the Egyptian pyramids exactly, and with the Djed columns, because this is how he got the ideas essentially for his Tesla coils. So when you take certain geometries that are of stone a certain way, and they're resonating, essentially what ends up happening is that becomes a power source of music. But music creates sound, and sound can create with water a thing called a soliton, or standing wave. And everybody's familiar with a standing wave, and they don't know it, because that's what you're getting through a cell phone, folks.
Mm-hmm.
The entire whole mobile cell phone industry was born out of this technology. So it's not something that's a flight of fancy. It's always been known about the effect between resonance of stone and water, and also where to place these. Stella mentioned obelisks. Now, what's interesting about obelisks are kind of like receivers. Just like a television aerial, that you get a transmitted signal through the air, and it picks that up, and then it codes it, little bits and bytes and stuff, and then appears as a picture from a vacuum tube. So is also the obelisk. It's a conductor of energy. And extensive research has been done, not only by myself and many, many others, demonstrating that essentially when you have certain hollow points on certain ancient sites, they cancel out frequencies. Now, Christopher Dunn has done incredible work in Egypt in being able to show how a lot of what we think that we're, you know, brute stone force is just not true. I mean, there's been evidence of modern machine tooling in being able to actually cut perfect 90-degree square angles inset into stone. So
wow.
back to about history, I think we've not been told the truth. And it's really only until we drop our belief systems and then start experiencing every single one of us of just what is, and using our critical thinking curiosity that we can actually get into the bottom of, you know, a lot of these ancient mysteries.
Mm-hmm. That gives me the perfect time to ask this question. Brian, your last name is Collins, and I was talking with Stella the other day, and she knows Frank O'Collins. Are you and Frank O'Collins, you know him too, don't you?
Yes, I know Frank, yeah.
Are you related?
I'm sure from a clan perspective down the line, but not directly related. Frank is Australian, and he's of the O'Collins, and essentially I was born in Scotland and came from the north of Ireland. I'm sure, you know, hundreds or thousands of years ago, we were all related across the entire
world.
I had the privilege of meeting Frank about 3 years ago when I was researching origins of bloodlines and that kind of thing. And I know a lot about the legal system. It's been a hobby of mine for many years in researching law and the history and that kind of thing. And that's kind of how I met Frank.
Well, it's just that the two of you have the most incredible outlook on things, and it's very similar, and it's almost like you were twins or something, and that's why I asked if you were from the, you know, the same bloodline, if you knew that, because you being a Collins and him an O'Collins, I mean, what an incredible coincidence that is.
Well, I think in terms of the origins of Collins, which goes way back, it's an Anglicanized name, Col meaning hazel, but it was changed from Cool, which meant holly.
And, Holly, that's Druid.
We hope you enjoyed this free excerpt from today's program. Register to become a sponsoring member so you can hear the complete interview for any of the radio shows in our library. Just click the sidebar link and select your membership level. It's that easy.